I thought that there was some sort of badness of it.
I'm also in a plane, if you know him.
I don't score very well, but mostly the personality.
Sexuality is part of what we are, but somehow the church and politics and everything gets entwined in it.
I want to break free.
Most people have a sexuality. However, a lot of people think people with disabilities do not have a sexuality. Well, I've known for you, we have.
God knows I want to break free.
Hello, I'm Denny Hearn, and you're listening to Wired FM 96.8 and 106.8 FM. The following programme is our latest programme focusing on people with disabilities. During the next 30 minutes, we will take a look at both heterosexual and homosexual relationships. Caroline, George, Tommy and I will be telling you about our own experiences with sexuality and relationships. Also, Bob from the Gay Switchboard will tell us about the work they do, and he will be really looking at the role of the switchboard in the lives of disabled people.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows.
I got very depressed and I thought about suicide 3 or 4 times. I just got so depressed. And then I moved to Dublin in 1995. And that was the start of me going out, really. Well, I had told Mom when I was 21. So, and she said, come back to me when I'm 23. But at that stage, it was too late because I was well out, you know. And then I just find, even without a disability, I live in the country, like in County Limerick, and it's harder with a disability, but I think it would be hard without a disability living in the country as well. I thought that there was some sort of badness of it, that because I was gay, because I suppose I came from a such a religious family, not over religious, but like your typical Irish Catholic family, really. It's a double challenge, really, with a disability, trying to change mindsets out there, and, you know, trying to make people aware of anything with disability is a bit of a hassle, but when it comes to homosexual or gay sexuality, it's like a big, you know, there is no groups out there. There was one group in Dublin called Delicious, but that actually folded because people didn't turn up to meetings and stuff. I think, really, in any area of sexuality and disability, to the public eyes, it just doesn't happen. Only for the gay switchboard, I don't know what I'd do.
The switchboard was founded in 1986 in Limerick. There was another switchboard founded in Dublin around the early 1970s, but Limerick was in 1986, and it was founded by a number of gay men in Limerick, mostly because two younger men had committed suicide in and around Limerick area at the time, and they felt that they needed to provide some services to help people to deal with the sexuality. In the early 1990s, a lesbian line started operating, and in the mid-1990s, a transvestite line was operating. And the gay line operates Monday and Tuesday nights, and the lesbian line operates Thursday nights, and the transvestite line operates on Friday nights ever since. Right.
Bob is a volunteer with the Gay Switchboard in Limerick. As we are about to find out, the first call he got from his neighbours was under less than ideal circumstances. The caller.
First one I can recall dealing with personally was someone who was deaf, which can be quite difficult because we offer a confidential service,
right.
And for someone who's deaf it can be difficult for them to make contact, but now with the internet and things like that it's much easier, and we can use that in a more confidential way. It means that the person doesn't have to rely on the person to make the contact. We wouldn't describe ourselves as being a counselling line,
no.
And very few of the helplines will, or I don't think any of the helplines would describe themselves as being a counselling line, but what we are is we are support line for people and information line for people.
Yeah.
And all our volunteers are all trained to quite a high level. Some of them in their private lives would be trained as counsellors, but all of them would be trained to a high level, and there's a standard that they have to meet before they come on the line. and many of them have years and years of experience of working. But in society, as we grow up, we're pretty much taught to be straight people. So in a way, it is peer pressure from our peers, and also from our parents, our families, our educational systems. People don't look beyond heterosexuality generally. How people deal with their sexuality is a mix of their religious backgrounds, mix of their social backgrounds. It's quite a big mix. I mean, our sexuality is part of what we are. But somehow the church and politics and everything gets entwined in it, and it becomes a difficult thing for people to deal with. We get varied calls. We get calls from gay men, lesbians, transvestites, transsexuals. We will get calls from their families and friends who might be worried about them or concerned or want to get some more information about what being gay actually means rather than what they think it means. We get calls from people who are dealing with the sexuality, dealing with loneliness. Many of the people we talk to, Denny, would be very depressed. Many would be suicidal. Some would have attempted suicide. Some would have very suicidal ideas. Many people, the isolation is a problem for them. Their sexuality is a problem for them.
Yeah.
Some research will show that about 1 in 4 suicides, 1 in 4 young people suiciding, the reason for it can be related to their sexuality.
Like,
given that maybe 1 in 10 people in the population is gay or lesbian, or the fact that 1 in 4 would be attempting suicide is quite high. Depression is a big deal. Suicide, alcoholism, drugs.
Yeah.
And people then, once people begin to come out, I mean, you still have to deal with your day-to-day living issues and problems that everyone has.
Yeah.
But when people begin to come out and begin to accept who they are, it begins to make their lives somewhat easier. And the depression can begin to lift, and it can be easier to deal with their sexuality combined with their lives. Many of our callers would be married gay men, and some would be married lesbians. Some are transvestites would be married. I mean, 9 out of 10 transvestites would be straight men. But of the gay men, quite a high proportion would be married, and many would have children. And it's how they deal with that, and how they're going to live with the conflict between their sexuality and the life that they would get. Some phone calls from people with disabilities, and some of them would be quite ongoing and long-term. Some people we would be dealing with for a long number of years. We would have people with various disabilities. Everyone's dealing with their sexuality and issues that arise from their sexuality. The main things that come up for people is isolation, which you're going to get with people who are disabled or not. But things like isolation for disabled people can be a lot more difficult, because physically trying to get from their home to maybe a place like Limerick or a place like Dublin where there are pubs and clubs and social outlets can be difficult. And then once you actually make your way to a town centre, getting access into a venue, especially in a wheelchair, can be extremely difficult. In the past, whenever we have been contacted with people who are using wheelchairs, we have always done our best to use some pubs or clubs or coffee shops that are wheelchair accessible. Sometimes it's difficult in the clubs. Some of the clubs have had wheelchair access with lifts and that, and toilets and all the facilities that you'd want in the past, but some of the clubs at the moment don't either, and that's a difficulty, but we would love to see it happen. Rainbow Support Services operates the drop-in centre once a week, and a youth group once a week, and the youth group operates Tuesdays from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and the drop-in centre operates Saturday afternoons. And you can call us on 061-310101, and we can give information about that, how to get there, what to do, what not to do. Or you can email us on gsl@aircom.net, and GSL stands for Gay Switchboard Limerick, so it's gsl@aircom.net or 061-310101, and all of that is in confidence.
Reaction of an able-bodied woman when they see me in my wheelchair, they might feel like saying he is glorious.
What Tommy said, he said that we can all relate to, regardless of sexual orientation. I asked Caroline and George about what they believe the public reaction to their sexualities.
The public didn't want to question our sexuality, and that's why we all have to have a sexuality with whoever we want.
If we come to sexuality, kind of push it under the carpet and say, well, doing it here, they're safe for life, like, dude. They won't even begin to think of having somebody to hold or, you know, even to be with.
What do you really think that leads us when it comes to sex or sexuality or anything like that?
Kids, I think our parents see us as kids, they don't see us as adults. I think that comes from constantly looking after us.
Did I not think we have a sexual brain?
Driver. Yeah. I do. But it's because the public didn't think that we are more just people. We're going away from being kids.
I feel the people think people who have a physical disability don't have the right to have a sexuality.
I think people, even some of my own friends, I think they see the disability first before they see my sexuality. I think people with disabilities don't have a sexuality or don't have a sexual drive of any kind. Not a mind to being gay. I really don't think it's viewed at all. And I think a part of this is the Catholic Church syndrome, because sexuality was never even discussed in Ireland. And I think the Catholic Church is to blame for a lot of this. And I think various bodies work with people with disabilities. They don't want to know about our sexuality. Like we're somewhat different or something, that we've no emotional field or no physical field or no. And I suppose to Joe Blob, they don't know an awful lot about us. So they come on and they think we've no brain either. So it's like, it's a bit of a mixed bag really, but I do blame the Catholic Church for a lot of it, because sexuality was never even discussed when I was growing up, never mind being gay. I call myself a Christian these days. I wouldn't call myself a Catholic. I do believe there is something there, but I wouldn't call myself a Catholic anymore. In some ways, I feel I chose, right? But in other ways, I feel forced, because you look at all that's happened in the Catholic Church and there's still nothing about welcoming homosexuals or the homosexual act of sex, which is a very strong contender for me. I haven't been in a relationship in about 8 years now, because it's hard to meet anyone, right? But it's just so hard to meet anyone when you have a disability. No one knows how hard it is. And it's not for the want to put myself out there or go on the nightclub there. Mind you, I haven't been there in quite a while now though as well, because I have my own van, but I can't drive it myself. So that's another issue for me. And I would very much like to see a group set up with a mixture of both disabled and non-disabled. And I think it's the way forward really. In England, there's lots of groups, and there's one particular mixed group where you have disabled and non-disabled people, so it seems to be working out well, you know. And I just can't see why the same can be done in this country. I think prostitution should be legalized in this country, because look at Amsterdam, it's all legalized over there. Like, I mean, when are we going to get away from the cloak and daggers of the Catholic Church?
I find it very difficult for me to go on a date because I feel that no one would go on a date with a physically disabled man. People might think that the person who was going out with me was crazy, but I would love to go on a date.
Wouldn't you go on a date the other person doesn't know what to say, like, and it can be awkward. I went out on one date. She was kind of what it was the distance really to book it up.
I was seeing somebody in a couple of months away years ago, but it didn't actually work out. He would have been over this chair, by the way, over things in his life, it didn't actually work out.
And was this able-bodied or?
Yes, Benny, he was.
Did you find this a very positive experience, Caroline, or was it?
Yeah, I felt over the moon when I was seeing him, actually, because I began to believe in myself at long last. I'm being accepted for who I am, like, you know what I mean?
About 2 years ago, in the neighborhood, I fancied a girl and the staff member I told wanted to go to the head boss, but I talked to her and I just think the road is wrong because we should be able to learn from our mistakes. That's the thing. There is no mistake with whatever road is there. You can't fancy it. Someone that you work with. I think it's absolutely nonsense with.
I think sometimes they don't want to see us as real human beings, as real sexual, vibrant human beings, really. And I just think it's probably covering their own backs as well. Mm-hmm. It's something they got to do with insurance now or something, or policy making, you'd find that, like. But if organisations do that, then how are we going to change public perception if organisations don't run it, do things like that? It's crazy.
I do find it difficult because I think everybody people doing it's serious the same, like, they don't want it of a sexual relationship.
I need somebody to get me ready. I need somebody to bring me to a place. Basically, it's very hard for me to start up a relationship. It would be if I'm currently in it with somebody that shouldn't be with me. You know what I mean? If I want to meet someone, I'm currently with people that should be with me, but I wish I could actually have my own life in a sense.
just wondering if fine if you know him, but what's this turn away?
I was seeing the personality very important to me.
Yeah. Anything else looks or
looks quite very nice, but mostly the personality.
Or sense of humor.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think is the reaction of even what it means when they see you in the wheelchair?
It's difficult at times.
Yeah.
But I actually get very downhearted when I ask. Maybe it's just me, but if I get used to a joke and I actually tell them how I feel, and they don't see the point I'm trying to make. I actually get very hurt. It's not that they don't understand, it's just they think if I tell them how I feel, they automatically go back to the little girl. You know, as you say, how come you shouldn't be thinking about those kind of things?
The qualities that I would look for in my partner are good looks, good sense of humor, loving and caring and slim. Of course, that would my ideal partner, but I know it is fantasy, but still I keep my hopes alive, as they say.
I thought the move into the city again, so that would really help, you know, and I hope to move up to Dublin again. Maybe start something up there. I don't really know, but all I can do is hope, because at the end of the day, if you don't wish for these things, well, they don't happen, do they? And I presume, like, they blossom so much when they come out, you know?
Many people, as you said, the word blossom is a fine word to choose. Yeah, many people do blossom when they begin to come out and begin to realise that they're not alone and that there are others like them.
Yeah.
And who they are and what they are is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That it's okay to be gay.
I suppose if we were a bit more in your face about these things, like disability awareness in schools maybe, where they can get the kids in time and tell them about disability and put students with disabilities into mainstream school with proper support service, maybe, like care assistants in the classroom. Now, obviously, some people need to go to special schools, but more people don't need to go to special schools. I think that would break down a lot of the barriers and stuff that's out there. I just think we're not in people's face enough, or they don't want to know about us either. That's the other issue. And of course, the bigger issue is the lack of access into nightclubs. That's the bigger issue. That's an environmental barrier, though. That's from the social model of disability. That's not our problem. That's the problem that society has. I suppose it's a bit like being gay, really. Some people think that everyone should be heterosexual or straight down the middle, you know, but what is straight at the end of the day? I'm very comfortable. It depends who I'm talking to as well, I suppose. If they understand, it's grand, but if they don't understand my attitude, that's their problem, it's not my problem, really.
For companionship above everything else, plus other things as well. I know that I am asking for a lot, but I am human too, and I have needs to that nature.
as Bob noted earlier, 10% of people in Ireland are either homosexual or bisexual. Yet, according to the Commission on the Status of People with Disabilities, exactly the same percentage of the Irish population have a disability. But what's been done for them in terms of their sexuality? While the gay community reach out to people with disabilities, heterosexual people with disabilities don't seem to get help from any place in relation to their sexuality and relationships. I'd like to thank you for listening to this program. I hope you now have a different view of people with disabilities and their sexualities.
But life still goes on. I can't get used to living without, living without, living without you by my side. I don't want to live alone. Hey, God knows, got to make it on my own. So baby, can't you see?
This programme was presented by Danny Ahern. It was produced by Danny Ahern and Kieran Ryan at Wired FM Studios, Mary Immaculate College, Limerick. We would like to thank Wired FM, Enable Ireland and Caroline Fahey, Tommy Quill, Gerard O'Grady and Bob from the Gay Switchboard for giving us their time. This project has been funded by the National Disability Authority, European Year of People with Disabilities 2003 Fund.